We're going to expand our weekly video segment to take you into the back shelves of your local video store, back where it says horror videos and where kids are devouring some awful films that we call the video nasties.
Are you freebasing? Inquiring minds want to know.
I have to break free from this culture of mechanical reproductions and the thick incrustations dying on the surface.
Fuck the prime time, bitch!
The pain, I can assure you, will be exquisite. As for our deaths, come with me and be immortal.
We have such sights to show you.
We've got to return some videotape.
Hello, horror hounds, and welcome to the It Slays podcast. I'm your humble host, Rowan.
And I'm humming green sleeves, Mike.
I'm Colton.
And it's Jill.
And we have a special guest with us, as we do every year, OG castmate, the Leprechaun.
The Leprechaun is here.
Yes.
Buckles on me shoes, whatever he
Buckles
says.
Buckles on me shoes.
Exilia is here.
Do you like me buckles?
Not reluctantly.
Love your buckles.
That was a weird, creepy question.
I missed it. Wait, what did the
leprechaun
say? It
sounds like something the leprechaun would say to like get someone to get in their van.
Like
get in the back
buckles.
Of their van. Do you like buckles?
Shine me buckles, lassie.
So, yeah, we are back doing, I think, what is our favorite episodes every year, because the movies just keep getting better and better. You know, it's our annual Leprechaun episode. I don't know what we're ever going to do when we run out of Leprechaun movies to do. We're going to have to start doing like...
back.
You start doing the ones that are like direct to Tubi that I've seen some really bad posters for.
We find anything vaguely Irish. Just start reviewing that.
I feel like we're just hovering, almost brushing offensive, but we make sure to pull it back a little bit.
I have Irish ancestry.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay, guys. It's all right.
We have our Irish representation here. We're good.
She's like, I'm allowed to say it.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
speaker.
Everyone on here is Irish except for Rowan, so.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why his accents come out terribly.
Yeah, that's why every time I try to impersonate the leprechaun, it's either like Jamaican or just someone from the lighthouse. So,
nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Release the dick cut.
But we know where we're starting. Let's get into what have we been consuming, what have we been watching, what have we been reading, what have we been listening to, anything you've been doing. And Exilia, you're the guest of honor. So we'll start with you.
Well, you're going to be disappointed. I just started reading the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, a very short introduction.
I have that too.
Do you?
The little small thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I bought it years ago in intention to read it. And then I was like, I should
now
put
is the
in
time.
The time
yeah.
to read it. Like, absolutely. Yeah. And then otherwise, I've been really into this really hardcore video game. Lately. And I've been obsessed with it, and I've been playing it constantly a billion hours a day, and that is Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Oh my god.
That's a big pick.
Literally the best game besides
That's
The
not
Sims.
Real.
Yes! Do you have an iPhone?
I thought that was a joke for years. Like a South Park
what?
Joke.
Oh,
what?
Oh,
yeah.
A party joke? What?
Yeah, what? No, South Park, they have a World of Warcraft episode and they bring up Hello Kitty Island Adventure and it's just like been a joke for years.
What?
That like, you
oh
know,
my
you
god,
go play
maybe...
Hello Kitty Island Adventure. I didn't know they made it into a real game.
I was going to say maybe they like South Park, I guess. But yeah, no, yeah. It's Hello Kitty Island Adventure. It's a fucking sweet game. Like, I pay $9 a month just to be able to play it.
Dude, it is World of Warcraft.
This is
I
just a scam. They're just stealing
it's
all
so
your information.
Is it just
you know,
like,
you're up
but is it just like Hello
now?
Kitty, like,
basically Hello Kitty and all of her friends, and then me. I'm a new friend, but I'm not actually like
but
a
are
real
you a
character.
Kitty or a human?
I'm like a weird, well, you can pick, but I'm like a cat thing.
You're whatever okay. you want to be as you're... long as you give them your information.
Exactly. And you got your credit card info in there. Yeah. You're good to go.
We all are on a plane, and the plane like crashes, I guess. And
it's like Yellow Jacket, Hello
it's like
Kitty.
The forest.
And yeah. We all get dispersed throughout a desert, like a desert island, deserted island. And you have to go around and learn about your friends, and like you have to give them gifts, and you build things, and you like swim.
Eat each other?
No.
It's just no. Giving Lord of the Flies.
No. There's a black smoke monster on the island.
There's I shouldn't say desert island. There's actually just like a ton of cabins and stores and stuff. Just nobody is there. I guess it's a ghost town. I don't know. But yeah, so it's super, super fun. You can do 1,000 different things, and I'm hooked.
You do realize I'm literally downloading this like as you're speaking?
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no, you have to pay for it. Never mind.
If you haven't downloaded Apple Arcade before, you get a month for free. That's how I got hooked.
Oh, okay.
And I swore I wasn't gonna pay for it, but no, I definitely have. And then otherwise, I guess it's consuming. I've been learning Japanese on Duolingo. I'm nice. On my 47-day streak, and yeah, pretty pumped.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Is it just for fun, or are you a weeb, or I don't know. Most people that are learning Japanese are literally just because, oh, I want to be able to watch anime better.
we're going to go to Japan. And I'd understand
that was
some stuff.
I'm just curious. Exilia doesn't strike me as someone who's watching anime all the time, but I don't know.
No, I consume a lot of Japanese like culture, but not anime. I do love Japan, but... Oh. That was weird. but yeah, we were like planning on going there. So yeah, I want to be able to communicate a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah, she may not look like it, but her closet's full of like button-up shirts with like flames and Dragon Ball Z.
I cosplay Dragon Ball Z.
Hell yeah. Bring those shirts
wifey
back.
Body pillow.
Oh, not a body pillow. Does anyone remember that episode of 30 Rock?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh my god. Just James Franco was
not
on it.
I'm not ancient.
Shut the fuck up. James Franco was on it, and I'm trying to remember. I think he plays himself, and he's obsessed. He has this body pillow that is like his girlfriend. It's really funny. Yeah.
What about you, Mike?
Okay, so I actually have been consuming things a lot of times. I'm like, I've just been watching Desperate Housewives, or The Real Housewives. I was actually thinking about rewatching Desperate Housewives, so it was on my brain.
Did you watch Bethany Frankel's TikTok series when she was in Abbotsford, BC? And she was like fucking going to like Winners and stuff, and she is obsessed.
But oh, what? Bethany at Winners? Yes. Are you kidding
she
me?
She went to like
okay,
all
I need
these
to...
places. You have to... She made like 1,000 TikToks.
I can't believe
the
it.
Last thing I remember is her let me eat this salad and serve Bob.
No, you have to watch it. Yeah, she went to like TV.
Oh, I'm going to.
She went to Marshalls and Winners, and she was like, oh my, she's obsessed with all this stuff. She's like, oh my god, this looks so like expensive, blah blah blah. She was like trying
I'm like
out
it's literally TJ Maxx. Yeah. Like it's literally owned by TJ Maxx.
She said
girl.
Winners is way better.
Actually,
oh wow, because
is...
I'm always telling my American friends, like they're always like, why do you keep talking about Winners? And I'm
no,
like, because it's the best
superior
store ever.
Winners is, I never really went to Winners until I moved back home. And that's my weakness.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike.
And you can go in there every couple days and there's different shit.
So
like,
different.
That's it's, the fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like hunting. It's like our female like hunter gatherer thing.
No, like I'm literally like making notes like Bethany TikTok right here because I did not know that she did that.
Oh my
god,
I
need this
to.
In my life. I need the crossover of my two weaknesses, Real Housewives and Winners. Like, I did not know that. I need her now, then, to collaborate with Winners and do a, like, Bethany Frankel, like,
line or something.
Cookware line or something. Yeah. I think that'd be phenomenal. But yeah, I've actually been, like, consuming real things for once. I have also been watching, like, Real Housewives of Atlanta from the beginning. But anyway, we won't go there. I love Nene so much. So I have been reading. I'm trying to read some classics. I'm reading House of Mirth by Edith Wharton. I'm very much in this like kind of, you know, doomed New York debutante phase because I've also gotten the pipeline Henry James, which is, you know, the same kind of vibe. And I'm also at the same time reading the massive, like, 800 page Susan Sontag biography, which I've been had for years and just been like kind of putting off. And I'm listening to it and it's really good because I finished the Kathy Acker biography and I'm like right on this like kick of like reading biographies of like intellectual American women or whatever. So I've actually watched a couple of movies too. And some of them were actually horror themed. I finally watched Suitable Flesh, the Shudder movie. I've had that on my list for like months and months and months and months, and me and my friend were like, you know, let's get on Shudder and like drink and watch a movie. So we picked that one, and she promptly fell asleep half hour into it, and so I was actually very distracted by her being asleep on the couch there and then waking up every 10 minutes and pretending like she hadn't been asleep and going, oh, and I'm like, girl, I know you were fucking asleep for the last 20 minutes. Like,
I hate watching movies with people like that won't admit it. They're like, I wasn't sleeping. I'm like, bro, snoring.
I know. I didn't call her out on it. Yeah, I didn't call her out on it, but I just thought it was funny. So, you know, it was not quite as good as I wanted it to be. It was actually quite bad, but it was really enjoyable in a like campy way, because like all the Lovecraft stuff recently, like that Nicolas Cage one, whatever that was, I don't remember now. It's very like, yeah. It's, you know, very much like bad movie, but campy and embracing the
camp. Excuse me, what the fuck?
Oh, sorry. A good movie.
Yeah.
And I watched, so one of my favorite movies from like the old days and that I still love watching and that I think holds up is Basic Instinct. But I never watched the Basic Instinct 2 that came out like 15 years after it because I knew it was going to be bad. And then I was on, I think, Prime, and it was like leaving soon. And I was like, oh, fuck, Basic Instinct 2 is leaving soon. I should probably actually watch it. So one day when I had a couple hours to spare, I watched it and it was awful. It was not even enjoyably campy. Like Suitable Flesh I enjoyed because it had its like strengths and it kind of like knew. By the way, Suitable Flesh was furnished by Winners, the entire, like, literally. It's just so funny that you brought that up. They definitely just went to Winners or Marshalls and like use that to furnish the really bare bones sets, because literally there's a couple of things in the background that are in my apartment that I bought at Winners.
That's like so many movies I watch and I'm like, because I worked at IKEA.
Yeah.
And I did returns. Oh my God, it's everywhere. And we would have, I worked in the returns department, and we would have people like staging and doing sets and stuff that would return the stuff afterwards. So I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
that's so funny. Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, I saw that movie. It's all IKEA stuff that they just like bought for 3 weeks and then returned.
Midsommar has a bunch of IKEA stuff in it, for instance.
Oh, that's hilarious. That makes sense, though. You know, that like kind
in
of
the girl's house.
Swedish connection. Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be like somewhat intentional as well. Yeah. Just to be silly with that one, maybe.
Yeah. It's also just cheap background stuff sometimes.
Of course. Oh, yeah, exactly. And so I watched that and that was like just awful. It was not even enjoyable. Like Sharon Stone, like, it was just so badly written. It was like they literally just rewrote it, but took all of the, like, good stuff out of it. All the actors were bad, except for Charlotte Rampling. You know, it was, like, just, it was not sexy. Like, I was like, where's all the fucking in this? Like, where's, you know, the ass shots? Like, hello? Anyway. But then I followed it up by watching something that I never watched before that I've always had on my list. And it was, like, one of my favorite things I've ever seen. And it was the old Marilyn Monroe movie, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Fucking loved it. Like, it was one of the Marilyn Monroe movies that I just never watched for some reason. I don't know why I thought I wasn't gonna like it as much as the other ones, and I'm like, this is like the best movie ever. Like, I immediately just wanted to start it over and watch it again. Yeah, it's really good. I'm like, I need a 4K right now. Yeah, so, and then other than that, I've just been playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because I accidentally bought it.
How far are you now? I saw that you were playing it, obviously. I've been playing a lot of Rebirth as well, but I'm just curious.
I'm actually not that far. I've done a couple of quests. I'm on the quest where you have to, like, kill the white wolf or something, or white...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not very far in, but it's very early, and I'm getting my ass destroyed every time, so I'm running around now just trying to level up and, like, do random crap.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing the past week as well with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Like, I have 70 25 hours in the game since
last
week. Yeah. Wow. So it's basically every single day just doing that. I was trying to finish it before my parents got in this evening, but dude, like I said,
because you're going to be like a junkie without your fix. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just no end in sight. So now it's like, well, I probably can't play for the next 4 or 5 days now. So
just make them watch you.
So I did make my mom watch me fight Sephiroth one time in the in Remake. She just sat there and she was just like, why are their eyes so real and their hair? Like, you know, completely ignoring, like, them soaring 50 feet through the air and, you know, slashing at each other in slow motion or whatever the hell is going on in that game. But yeah, it's really great. I've been enjoying it. I think the characters are really endearing, and I'm not someone who grew up with the original game, so any love for that series only really happened within the past like 3 or 4 years for me. So I've been really enjoying it. I also beat Dead Space Remake. A couple days right after we last recorded the podcast, I just kind of made my way through it before Rebirth released. And that's one that like I jumped on way back in the day, like in 2008 or 2009, I think, when the original came out.
Yeah.
And I remember everybody loved the original Dead Space.
Oh, so good. One of my favorites.
So I was like, it's pretty good. I enjoyed it. But I loved the second one, which is a very hot take. And the reason why I loved the second one was just because you don't really see oftentimes in video games where you have like a protagonist that went through like a horror, you know, horrifying thing. And the second one, they're just so beaten down and affected with what they went through. Like, you know, just he's basically like in a, you know, like a psych ward at the beginning of the second game. And I just thought it was very interesting. But yeah, the remake's really great. The one thing I think that I don't like is they make the protagonist talk in it. And the way he's written is kind of like an edgy character. Like he curses all the time, which is just a little strange and like off-putting for like, you know, oh, you're coming up against, I don't know, a monster to fight. And he's like, what the fuck is that thing? You know, and it's just, I don't know. It almost sounds like an action character when he's really not like that in the following games. So that was the one aspect that I thought was a little bit of a false note. But other than just gaming a whole bunch, literally the only movie I've watched outside of something for my weekly movie afternoon with my friend is Dune 2. This is the only thing I watched, Dune Part 2. Rowan, did you see this yet? I know Jill and Rowan both were talking about seeing this at some point.
I still haven't gone and seen it yet. I'm thoroughly convinced that I'm going to get Exilio to watch the first one and then maybe convince her to go to the second one.
All I can think about now is about the buckets.
I got my popcorn bucket. I know everyone here actually knows I got it, but I think I got the last one at Cineplex, I think. Like, the guy, like, kind of rushed over and snatched it off, like, the top of where they put all the buckets as soon as I ordered it. So I may have got the last one here in St. John's, but
Big flex.
You're saying there's flexing. A chance that it was previously used.
It's definitely possible. I mean, I didn't even... It's going to make this sound even worse because most people know these fucking popcorn buckets because everyone's making jokes about fucking them. But I didn't want
I was
going to
say it was the pass-around bukkake bucket.
Yeah, I didn't want popcorn. I just wanted the bucket, mostly because of the stupid memes I've been seeing for the last month that literally just send it as a picture to a couple of friends. That's it. But the friends that I with were like, dude, if you're paying $25 for the popcorn bucket.
What?
Yeah, you're paying $25 for this popcorn bucket. At least get the popcorn and they'd eat it. So yeah, they're
selling them for $100 average on eBay.
Wow. Is that previously used?
Every one of them is $100 on eBay.
That's crazy.
And I can understand the markup, but I can't believe they're $25 like at the source.
Yeah. And I mean the bucket, to be fair, is pretty big and it's like a like metal bucket. But, I mean,
can I just tell you guys, one of the people selling the bucket on eBay, because that's where I'm looking at it right now.
Oh my God.
It's a special bundle. It's the Dune Part 2 popcorn bucket and a tube of KY jelly.
Oh my God.
You found my listing.
$111. No. Go for it, Fuzz. Go for it.
But I didn't use the bucket in any way, like not eat popcorn out of or anything. But I tested it when I went home, and I don't think it's really... I don't know how you'd eat popcorn out of it. Like, it has all these weird little
thought you
fucking...
were going to say, I don't think it's fuckable. Like,
well, I don't really think it is either. I mean, it's pretty wide mouth on it. But it has all these, like, weird little tendrils that, like, if you reached your hand inside, I don't know how you'd get the popcorn out.
Jesus
it's a very
Christ.
Strange bucket.
Please stop.
Anyways.
That again, it's very Saw trap, right? Like,
yeah, yeah. That has nothing to say about the quality of the movie, which I think technically I'm not really going to say anything that anybody else hasn't been saying. I think it is literally masterpiece in terms of technically like cinematography, sound, lighting, you know, the set design, the visual effects. All that is literally 10 out of 10 for me, like absolutely amazing.
It's just for me, I still don't care at all about the characters. And I still don't, like, I'm not emotionally invested in it at all. That's the thing. I think Denis Villeneuve, every time when he can make something really hit or make you really feel for the characters, he kind of intentionally goes in a different direction to make you, like, make the movie feel even, like, colder or, like, stoic or, you know, just, like, completely, like, unemotional. Which, for me, like, when you're watching something that, well, by the end of the second one, you know, you're probably, like, 5 hours into this world, it's like, I should care a little bit about if a character dies, or I should care about this big twist or something like that, and I just didn't care at all.
But
still,
I think that's all big sci-fi epics like that, you know? Well, they're kind of like
it depends
that
on what you're comparing it to. Like, you know, for example, I left the movie and I told my friends, I was like, when I watched the Star Wars prequels, I felt more like about Anakin turning to the dark side, and like I was more upset by that than anything that happened in Dune Part 2, when Dune
Rogue
Part
One
2 was far more successful.
Oh,
yeah,
Rogue One was so good.
Yeah,
but Dune Part 2 way more successful on every other level. But when I'm like, yo, the prequels did something better, it's just a little bit embarrassing. It's funny that he spends so much time on all the technicals but just doesn't care if you care at all about any of these characters. And I mean, I know a lot of people don't care about that. They just, you know, they really like the spectacle of it all. But I also just thought a lot of the movie, it didn't really set up the scenes well. We would just kind of be with one character talking on a planet, and then we'd instantly cut back to Arrakis where there's like a skirmish ongoing and we're in media res. We can't really place who's involved because they're all in suits. We don't know how much time has passed since the last time we saw them. And it's just, it's a little bit like disorienting. Like, it just keeps going and going. There's so many action set pieces, so much spectacle to it that I was just like, I just wanted you to slow down. I wanted to care about these characters a little bit was the main thing. I still really enjoyed it. I still think it's great. It's definitely worth seeing in IMAX. It was just, I was hoping I'd be, you know, I'd feel like another emotion other than just awe the entire movie. I was just amazed the entire movie. I didn't care at all about anyone that died or any twists and turns. But yeah, I mean, everyone who's listening to this probably already saw it if they want to see it. So I'd definitely recommend Dune Part 2. Jill, what have you been watching and consuming?
I want to go see Dune Part 2 so bad, but my husband is such a crusty man, so that's why I haven't seen it yet. But
wait, like, does he want to see it, or he just like is against Dune?
He's just like, no, he loves Dune. It's just, he's really hard to get out to go to the theater, especially like the state of the theater, you know, this day and age with like little asshole kids and stuff. So, you know, anyways.
He pre-ordered the bucket, so he's like, I don't really need to go, so.
Yeah,
they should do a version of the bucket that has the like fleshlight thing on it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet people have already done that.
I would think so. I honestly feel like after we're done tonight, I'm gonna go down a like fucking rabbit hole of Dune popcorn bucket shit.
Dune worm fleshlight.
I mean, why stop there? Just go to, you know, go to a Spencer's back room or go to like baddragon.com and you'll find exactly what you want. Anyway.
And then some.
I haven't I haven't actually watched like any movies since the last time we recorded. I have been watching like total fucking trash. Love Island. I watched the first season of that, the American version. I've been watching like my shitty little TLC shows. And apart from that, I made some really good cookies last weekend, I just eat one of those and pop on SpongeBob SquarePants or Broad City.
Fuck yeah.
It's
nice
little afternoon.
My girls.
It's so good.
Okay, I'm not like, oh yeah. But I went to this Pride event at the Toronto Reference Library when we lived there, and I met Abby Jacobson. She like signed my book and stuff. She was so cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, she was really like super nice.
That's great.
I just want to say something positive. Show. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry, go ahead, Jill.
No, you're good. I'm just moving on to books over here. So I think last time I brought up Bride by Allie Hazelwood, I finished it, and it was interesting. I think it kind of turned into like a furry thing near the end, which was kind of shocking.
Though
it's a werewolf vampire romance. But I learned a term called nodding, like N-K-N-O-T. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Please explain to the class what it is.
I mean,
it's probably better
up.
She doesn't in
you
that
probably
case.
Look it up.
I've heard of that before as well.
Have you?
Yeah.
You sick puppy.
Word choice.
Exactly. So basically, a werewolf penis.
No! We don't need to explain it. We can just move on.
No, she asked. I have to deliver.
I didn't ask.
Oh, Mike asked. Sorry.
Yeah. No, if Mike asks, you do not have to deliver. You can move on. He's already Googling it.
Okay, yeah. So a werewolf penis is called a knot. And from what I've read, I haven't had visual things to compare this to.
Because they don't exist.
Yeah, I mean, they don't exist. Werewolves.
I just go looking for it. But it's thicker on the base, you know? That's where the knot is. And then when the werewolf gets really turned on or climaxes, it gets really, really, really big. And maybe it explodes. I don't know. Don't come for me. I'm not the expert.
Okay.
But anyway.
It's literally just how dogs get stuck together. That's all you had to say. Okay. That's the that's okay. Where I heard it before. No? Not searching up weird werewolf porn. I heard it when a dog's in heat and they get stuck together, and they can't get separated. Rowan, I hope you edit all this out. That was just a garbage diatribe for 2 minutes about werewolf dick.
Anyway.
You know it's going to stay in.
Colton, you know, just because you're the expert on furry porn doesn't mean you have to shit all over my
Do not put that on me. I don't want to be an expert on fucking furry porn.
But, apart from that weird little beat in the book, it was pretty good. I would say it's kind of like Underworld meets Crescent City. And she has a very distinctive writing style, which kind of marries science and romance, which is cool. But there's a lot of times where she uses really scientific words. And I'm it's kind of out of place. I'm sorry. Colton's Colton is so mad right now.
It's just world. We're still going about this nodding werewolf porn book. Just,
I'm not even talking.
It's a leprechaun episode.
I'm just talking.
I mean, they're both kind of creatures, you know?
It is true. It's a mythical creature, yeah.
All right, never mind. Everyone else
totally
is supporting
relevant.
You. Go on.
It's actually more relevant to Leprechaun than Dune is,
yeah,
when you think about it.
Anyway, I read it. It was pretty good. I'll move on because we're angry about furry porn again.
Thank
Happens
you.
A lot here. I also read Satched, which is a... Everyone calm down. It's a book of poems by this lady who is from about the same place I am. And it's
Is that Megan Coles?
Yeah, it's Megan Gill Coles. So I read that. It was really good. It made me kind of homesick.
I mean, just the title alone, it's such a Newfoundland word. Satched.
Yeah. And the other book that I just started reading is called The Serpent and the Wings of Night. I'm reading that for my Romantasy book club pick this month. So, so far, I really like it. Really like the writing style.
I'm glad you're reading. Really using a book club to branch out and try new and different things.
No, I want to find the things that I like because I'm mentally ill.
Aren't we all?
And then the last thing that I want to talk about is I went to a horror convention yesterday, Monster Mania Con, which is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And it was fun. I got lots of cool stuff. Some prints. I got this cute little leprechaun Funko Pop that's sitting next to me.
It is very cute.
Thank you. I got some cool shirts and stuff. I saw Sam Raimi from afar because the line to go get stuff autographed by him was ridiculous. So I was like, yeah, I'll just look at people from afar and not be creepy.
I need to look up who was there because I want to know how many people you didn't go meet that I would have murdered you for.
John Cleese was there. I saw him from afar. He looks really old.
He's 800.
Yeah. And I saw some cool costumes, people dress up. There's a costume contest. I saw a really good Harry Warden from My Bloody Valentine. This guy's costume was amazing. What else did I see? Shit. There was a leprechaun. Someone was dressed as leprechaun. Oh, and it was awesome. Yeah. I saw like a little tiny kid as Art the Clown and it was awesome. Yeah. Just lots of cool costumes. But yeah. That's
Lynn
a
She?
Yeah. Katie
she Seagal?
Was there. Yeah.
What the fuck? Brad Dourif was there?
Yes.
You didn't even go see Brad Dourif?
I walked by him.
Oh, my girl, Jane Levy. You're actually killing me here.
I'm so sorry. Dude, I was there for like all day. And when I saw the lines to like, you know.
I know, but you could have gone up to Brad Dourif and said, hey, I'm on a podcast. We just did an episode about Child's Play. Here's my card.
I could have. I don't have a
but
card.
But also, then she wouldn't have her limited edition Lisa Frankenstein poster that she way overpaid for and could probably get the same design on DeviantArt, you know?
That is not true. that girl that I got the Lisa Frankenstein print from, by the way, is an amazing artist, and she makes really cool like Barbie editions of like you know, mostly female horror characters, and I got a bunch of them, like Ginger Snaps, Jennifer's Body, Danny.
Weird that for Talk to Me she didn't do Mia from the movie, she did The Hand,
right?
You know,
I like The Hand though. It's
well, I mean, I like The Hand as well, but it's just funny that the rest of them were like, you know, the strong female leads in these movies, and then
she had a lot there and I only selected like a couple, but she had some that I haven't seen like any representation of before, like fuck the sister in Nope.
Oh yeah.
She was one of the characters that was really cool. Like, yeah, she had lots of stuff. She was a really good artist. She also did like hand-painted jackets, like at the back of jackets she would like do horror stuff, and it was really good painting, like not like the art style of the prints, but yeah, no, she's a really cool artist, so don't shit on her. But anyway, Rowan, how about you?
So I've kind of only been doing my Oscar watch stuff, which I failed. I messaged Colton. I was like, yeah, I totally am not getting through this list.
Well, you kind of did it in a weird order to start with all of the shorts and do like 20 or 30 shorts, which usually everybody's just like, I'll skip the shorts. I'll start with the movies. So you're not too burnt out. But you spent the last couple episodes telling us about all these miserable shorts, you know? That you've been watching, or these very upsetting shorts.
Yeah, so like I said, my plan is to still get through them and watch them. It just will be after the Oscars. The only big one we haven't watched yet is Zone of Interest, which, who knows, maybe tonight at some point we'll watch.
We did watch Oppenheimer. That was the first time I ever saw it.
Yeah,
exactly. It only took me like 6 days to finish it, but...
Oh, yes, Colton's dreaded just in segments.
It's weird. It took me almost 6 days to finish Leprechaun 4 in Space as well.
I mean, Oppenheimer was awesome. But yeah, I just don't have a good attention span.
But so I watched a movie called Robot Dreams, which is, it's an animated full-length film. I really like this one. There's no talking in it. It's all music. It's a lot of like Earth, Wind, and Fire and like 70s funk. And it's like this really kind of like cute story about friendship and like loss and refining friendship. I think if you look it up, like all the reviews are essentially like this movie is Past Lives except with robots.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's very much the exact same themes. Because, yeah, there's some coding in there that, like, I think it's a little more than a friendship. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that one. I watched Golda that was on Prime. I thought it was pretty mediocre. I didn't, like, know anything about the person.
Neither do I. That's why I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, weird timing for it to come out. It's like, you know, it's basically about, like, the Palestinian-Israel war in the 70s, and Golda was like the prime minister of Israel at the time.
Oh my god, I'm completely off on what I thought this movie was. I thought it was just like, I don't know, I thought it was like a makeup artist movie or something.
Oh my god.
I have no idea who Golda is. I know the poster in my head. It was just like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I thought it was like...
I think it's nominated for
makeup.
Oh, well then maybe that's why that's in my head. Okay.
And it's not done very well. They tried to make it like really kind of artsy and weird. Like, you don't see any war. It's all told to you from like television or radios playing. And it's shot like it wants to be like Requiem for a Dream. Like, it's really surreal, but they just don't like convey the information. I just found that at the end of it, I was like, I still have no idea who this person is, like what they were about.
That's every biopic pretty much that came out within the last couple of years. I mean, Oppenheimer, you know, a bit about him, but that's not a full biopic, obviously.
Yeah, no, this isn't like Oppenheimer level.
It's more about like using the character to talk about an event.
Yeah, that's gotcha. that's a good way to describe it. I also watched Nimona, which I absolutely loved.
That's great.
Yeah. This was like fantastic. I can't say enough good things about it. It's on Netflix. I can't believe like Disney got rid of it and dropped it before it came out.
Well, I can. But it's not a statement on the quality of the movie. It's more so on the subject matter and Disney.
I was like,
right?
Is it pretty gay?
Oh, it's super gay.
Yeah, it's literally like a male gay romance is like one of the main parts of it.
Yeah, because it's like the same person that helmed the She-Ra reboot that everybody was up in arms over that was actually really good, that was also on Netflix.
Yeah, this was fantastic. This was really good. One thing I watched that wasn't very good, I finally saw the Flaming Hot movie, which is about...
Oh, with the Cheetos.
With
right?
the Cheetos.
Oh, I saw that.
I watched this because apparently it's nominated for, like, in Best Song. I don't even know
what song
it is.
It's probably in the credits.
Yeah, probably, because... The music in the movie is pretty good because it's all like Cypress Hill and it's like West Coast 90s hip hop, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, it just wasn't very good. Also, like pretty much as soon as this movie came out, once people research it, everyone found out that the guy that sold his story like lied about everything. So it's not even like,
wait, is that the like janitor or whatever who like invented them?
Yeah, he like claimed he was like a gang member and then like a janitor, and
because there was a book about it too. I remember seeing the book years ago. Yeah,
so I mean, he made his money, what does he care? He's like a motivational speaker now or something.
Has he invented Flaming Hot Cheetos?
Yeah.
Is it the worst brand movie that came out last year out of Air and BlackBerry?
Oh, 100%. I really...
Oh, BlackBerry was sweet.
I loved BlackBerry. That was one of my favorite movies of last year.
Oh, okay, well, there we go.
And I really, like, I enjoyed Air. I thought Air was pretty good. Like, this is just terrible. Like, it's a step, awesome. A little step up from, like, Lifetime TV movie.
It's like if Hallmark made Flaming Hot Cheetos movie.
Yeah, essentially. Me and Exilia also, we watched a short that was pretty good called Afterwards. That was about like the women abuse shelters in Quebec, I believe.
Well, it was Canadian and they were speaking French.
Yeah,
so
it's probably
Quebec.
In Quebec. But this was really interesting. Yeah, there's not much to say about it.
It was really interesting, and that's like the field I work in. So it was interesting to see that it's all exactly the same across the board. And like, basically the women go to like a group and they talk about their experiences and stuff. Yeah. What they say is like very much on the money. Like, it's a very accurate depiction of domestic violence. They're living it, so that makes sense. It was interesting.
That wasn't an Oscar pick. That's just...
That was on the National Film Board.
It was on the National Film Board app on Roku. I also saw Elemental finally. I thought it was fine. It's pretty, like, low-tier Pixar. But, like, it's watchable. I did watch Past Lives, so I've, you know, caught up with the rest of the world. I don't know, Colton, I tease you about the Team Arthur thing, but I don't know, man. Arthur was fine.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's, like... I don't think you have to hate Arthur. They're obviously in very different points of their life. It's just like, for me, for a lot of the movie, obviously, I cared more about one relationship than the other, which is what the movie's trying to make you do, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I thought it was really well done, and it was just, like a very interesting topic that I don't think you see a lot, because obviously...
Yeah,
you know,
I thought its portrayal of like the online Skype talks that they used to have, like, to converse with one another, and how you can still have like this feeling of intimacy, like in a long distance relationship, or like the face to face conversations were really good in the movie. I don't know. They captured like a time and place really well.
Yeah.
But I can remember when everyone was using Skype rather than Zoom or FaceTime or, you know, that sort of thing.
I also saw The Color Purple finally. You know, I don't know if I'm the best to talk about this, so I've never seen the original Color Purple.
Oh, neither have I.
Spies, you're killing me here.
I talked about the movie like a month or two ago.
Go buy the 4K. It's, you will not regret it. It's a masterpiece.
I don't know if I need to see Oprah, you know? Acting.
No, she will like change your life. She is so fucking good in it.
She'll
like
give me a
as
car.
Someone listen, you'll feel like it.
Yeah. You'll feel like
So this was I thought it was fine, and I mean, you guys know, I've said 8 million times musicals really aren't my thing, and this kind of holds that up. Like, I didn't think the music was like super memorable. Like, you know, I don't remember any of the music afterwards. Which is a shame, because I thought it was a fantastic cast. Like, Coleman Domingo was amazing.
It's pretty stacked, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Danielle Brooks is, like, fantastic in it.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was definitely going to win an Oscar for that. I mean, I guess she still could. It's starting literally now as we record it. But it seems like the woman from The Holdovers seems like she's going to win that now. I think it's, like, Divine Joy Randolph or something.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then the last two things I watched El Conde, which is very much in line with like What We Do in the Shadows. A little more political.
Not in tone though, right? Like, it's not a silly movie, is it?
Yeah, it's a comedy. It's
oh,
like,
geez, I never knew that. I thought it was like just a horror that's very slow moving about like a
Colton is literally like, I'm taking that off my watch list on Letterboxd.
Hey, I like What We Do in the Shadows. It's just, you know.
It's like a dark comedy about a vampire. You know, I say a dark comedy. All the reviews I've read, I think if you're Chilean, it's not a dark comedy.
Well, that was, yeah, I think that's probably more so what I was hearing. Yeah.
I'm interested to learn more about it. I didn't realize there was like such a contention about it. Because it's about a real life dictator of Chile, and basically like saying, oh, he never actually died. He's actually a vampire. And
is this true?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's actually a vampire.
I don't know. I'm like, is that what people are
But basically
say?
Saying like he, you know, he's been around for hundreds of years, like always becoming a dictator. And like, you know, just like a very on the nose, like he's sucking Chili dry.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's weird vampire connections with like Margaret Thatcher in it. It's
sounds accurate.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like I said, I kind of liked it. It's beautifully shot. Like, it's probably one of the best looking movies I've seen out of any of the Oscar picks.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
The Doctor Who episode about Queen Elizabeth and her whole family line being werewolves.
Maybe.
So they all have knots.
Same thing.
Oh my god.
Oh, no.
Not the knots.
Please, move on.
You guys know our next pick is about werewolves.
Yes, we could have saved that discussion until next time.
It's now ruined. But anyway.
But this is, yeah, it's like What We Do in the Shadows if you mix it with Succession. Because it's like about this guy's kids and all trying to fend for power. And yeah, I it made me interested in finding more out about, I guess the director is like very controversial. He's from a very affluent family in Chile whose father actually worked for the dictator. Like, even though this is like highly against that party and the dictator, like obviously there's been some outcry because his family is like so close to the subject that he's making fun of.
Yeah, the director is Pablo Larraín, by the way. So he did Jackie and Spencer.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Within the last few years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the same director. Then this is like kind of his weird, more indie,
that's wild,
understated Netflix movie. Yeah.
And then last but not least, I saved this one for Jill. With Exilia, kind of. She watched some of it with me. I watched The Little Mermaid for the first time. I'd never
New
seen it before.
Old.
Yeah.
The original.
Oh,
the original
nice.
One.
I still haven't
nice.
Seen anyone.
And I really
don't need to.
I really liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
It is good. It's one of the classics.
It's a great movie, yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. The music was, like, fun. It's not too long. It's, like, the perfect amount an animated Disney film should be.
Dude, all of them are that length until, like, probably, I don't know, the later 2000s.
Well, I don't know, man, because I've never seen any of them, so.
Because they're all, like, 85 minutes.
Have you seen Beauty and the Beast?
No.
You gotta watch that one.
Oh, my
one.
God.
It's my fave.
Girls, we want to talk about soundtracks, like.
Oh, I thought we were talking about, like, interspecies romances again.
Also.
But also that it's a furry story, yeah.
But, yeah, I'll leave it there, and that's everything I've watched. And I feel like we don't really have to get into why we chose this film. We already said.
This fine piece of
Oscar cinema. Leprechaun 4 in space. Woo! Although, I did have a little debate before we get into it. IMDb says 1996. Everywhere else says 1997.
Yeah. I know.
What's up?
Either way,
I wrote 1996. I wrote 1996 in my notebook. And then when I was, like, you know, Googling it afterwards, I was like, why does Wikipedia say 1997?
It's because that apparently Russia got it before everyone else.
Oh,
in 1996, and then everywhere else got 1997.
Why?
But was it an official release or like a bootleg on VHS?
Bootleg.
I just figured they were that behind in the space race that they thought this was going to help them out.
Consolation. They probably did. They're like, shit, the leprechaun in space?
The leprechaun can go to space, but I can't.
Yeah. Oof.
Let's just get into the trailer, and then we'll be back with the synopsis and first experience.
Small though I am, mighty is my spirit when bloody battle calls. Come at me with what you will. Shoot me. Stab me. Kill me 100 ways.
Come on! Take this bastard out!
I am eternal as the sun. This barbecue's only just begun. Death and destruction are my game. Agony is my name.
Leprechaun 4 in Space was directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith and written by Dennis A. Pratt, and the story is as follows. After resurfacing on an alien planet, Lubdin the Leprechaun abducts a member of the world's royal family, Princess Serena, in an attempt to wed her and shower her in gold to become the universe's supreme ruler. But unfortunately for our little Irish friend, a group of marines and a mad scientist with a terrible German accent arrive just in time to foil his plans and steal his pot of gold all for themselves.
So, we're going to start with our first experiences. Is this our first time seeing Leprechaun in space? Or are we a fan of all the horror movies that go into space? And this is just, you know, the cherry on the top of the sundae of horror space movies. We'll start with you, Jill.
What was the question?
Jill! Get back into it. Also, Jill.
All right, I'm outing her.
Immediately zones out.
We just had a break, and then she was like, all right, can we get back into it? You know, like, can we stop having fun? And then we come back, and we ask her a direct question, and she doesn't know what we're talking about.
I knew you were going to say that. Listen, I'm sorry.
Is it your first time seeing this wonderful film, Jill?
Okay, no need to be mean. All right. You know, after Leprechaun 3 last year, I thought that Warwick Davis did such a good job that I wanted to wait until this year to watch Leprechaun 4 for the first time.
Savoring it.
Every last drop. Now, I feel like Colton really loves Leprechaun 4 so much that this is probably like his fourth time, his golden watch of Leprechaun 4.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I put this on every single year, you know, to celebrate St. Paddy's Day. Everyone knows on the show I'm a huge Leprechaun fan. No, this is obviously a first-time watch for me. As I said before on the show, I think I kind of got goaded into doing episode 1 and 2 or Leprechaun 1 and 2 because I was like, I don't want to watch those. Don't invite me back for that episode. And now I've been tortured ever since. So, yeah, it's my first time seeing Leprechaun 4 in space. What I will say is I think Jason X is actually not that bad. It's pretty, I think it knows what it's doing, which is, you know, another franchise, like when it goes to space. It's quite fun. Mike, what about you? Have you seen Leprechaun 4 in space before?
This is my first time.
Wow. Wow.
Believe it or not.
You guys
what
are
about
so
you, X?
Annoying.
So we had sat down to watch this like years and years ago, and I got past like maybe 5 minutes.
Because you have the
I
box set, like, right?
No. Yeah. I guess.
Yes, we have like, the Leprechaun box set.
Rowan has
like,
I
don't have the box
scattered
set.
Everywhere.
I don't have
she
the box
no
set.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was terrible. I love space. Like, I really, really like space. But for some reason, I don't tend to like movies set in space, except for like Gravity. But yeah, so yeah, this is pretty much my first time seeing it. What about you, Rowan? Jeez, the look. I don't
oh, gosh.
What the listeners should know is that I know when Exilia is, like, not facing me.
I'm facing you right
no,
here.
No, but when I, like, I can't see her phone, but it's tilted sideways, she is playing that Hello Kitty game.
I'm addicted.
So.
I mean, she's still, you know,
it
she's paying attention,
exactly.
Unlike Jill.
Well,
unlike
Jill.
It helps me pay attention. There's studies about
Hello
this.
Attention.
You're paying Hello Kitty attention.
Oh. Yeah, so kind of like Exilia said, which is surprising that I've only seen like 5 minutes of this movie. Because obviously, like, you know, as someone that really actually does like the Leprechaun movies, like, the first three to me are the ones that I revisit. But we're in uncharted territory. Like, this is it. That's where I stopped watching them. This is kind of weird because I've owned this on VHS and I've owned this on DVD, like, as a teenager.
And
I never watched
it. Whoa, what a surprise.
So, yeah, this is a first time watch for me. So, yeah, that's exciting. All of us.
Every listener will be shocked to learn
that
Rowan routinely buys
exactly.
movies that he might never, ever watch.
There's ones with like that are still in the plastic.
Liars.
Oh, listen, you guys, when you were here last year, Ro gave me a stack of Blu-rays
and there
that
were
you
ones
had
in
upgraded
the plastic
to 4K, and there were a couple of them in plastic.
Yeah,
still.
Exactly.
And I was like, I love how you didn't even open this Blu-ray and you still upgraded to a 4K.
Exactly.
I'm giving you shit, but I love it about you, Ro.
So with that, I'm here to announce, guys, the Entertainment Lounge is open. It is time to talk about Leprechaun 4.
What's the Entertainment Lounge?
Okay. First of all, I can't remember what happened at the end of 3, but why the fuck are we in space?
Why?
I don't think it has anything to do
it
with it,
any,
my,
yeah,
my
I don't
darling.
Think you like any, aliens. Like, rhyme or reason.
So, I mean, why is in space? I don't know if any of you guys
well,
looked
the
at
queen,
the IMDb
guys.
Of
the
why
did.
This is in space. But basically, Trimark, one of the head people, saw the poster for Apollo 13 and said that all he could think about was replacing Tom Hanks' face with the Leprechaun's face. And was like, that needs to be a movie. So,
for real?
Yeah.
You're being serious.
I'm being serious. That is
okay.
The birth
That's
of
valid,
this movie.
Honestly.
I figure the pitch for this is just like, we've seen aliens. Now let's just try and do that, but with Leprechaun.
Yeah, no aliens whatsoever. Just
no,
Leprechaun.
There is an alien. He's just at the end of the movie a little bit, you know. Dr. Mitten Spider. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
more
that
of a mutant
crazy.
Than an alien.
I mean, he's more alien than he is human by that point.
We got cyborgs and shit, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, we're jumping way ahead, but...
Oh, yeah.
I was gonna say, like, Alien is definitely... I mean, there's a big conversation throughout this whole movie that literally pretty much beat for beat, this movie is trying to recreate aliens. Like,
yes.
Or
yes.
Alien, a little
well,
of both,
it's
really.
A mixture of both, yeah. What, Jill? You just keep butting in? What?
I said, but worse. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's like Alien, but worse.
All right. I mean, to be fair, most movies are worse than Alien. You know?
That's true. I'll give you that.
I just have to remark right away. I don't have very many talking points about this movie. I have loads of notes. It's just all these like dumb little remarks. But the VFX in this movie are
oh my
truly amazing. And the fact that this came out 3 to 4 years after Jurassic Park and it literally looks like absolute trash, I couldn't get over it. I was literally like, I think the Star Wars games I'd play on like my dad's Pentium 3 when I was 4 years old looked better than this. Like,
first of all, they're really bad. You're talking about franchises that have loads of money versus Leprechaun.
It's still pretty bad, though.
I'm talking about the Star Wars PC game by LucasArts that I guarantee they didn't have loads of money to make that back in the day.
I was going to say, this was like made on MS-DOS with like 5.5-inch floppy disks. Like,
listen, there's no defending these VFX to this movie. It is insane, like what the spaceships look like. Like, I don't know, 2001 did it 30 years before this or
something.
Yeah,
that's a very good
point.
Yeah.
Way better. They could have just used a miniature and dangled it on a string in front of like a Starry Nights background that you would have, like, you know, on your wall as a kid, and it would have looked probably better than what they wound up doing.
But why does the spaceship at the beginning look like a fucking Cybertruck, though?
Oh, it does.
It looks just like a Cybertruck.
Maybe Elon's just a really big fan of Leprechaun 4 in space.
That's what it means. That's inspired SpaceX.
SpaceX, yeah. I was more so looking at it. I was like, okay, the ship kind of does like split into like four parts, but it's not defined enough to be a four-leaf clover, and I just feel like there was a really like I was just like, they were going in that direction,
yeah,
but they didn't commit is kind of how I felt. I mean, so that was my second thought after just the terrible VFX. But when I was watching this movie, I was like, man, like the Leprechaun movies weren't like the early 70s or something, right? Like they were later than that, like, because I didn't look at the year this came out until I was like 10 or 15 minutes into the movie, and I was just like, dude, this is like the mid to late, you know, 1990s. And I was just like, there was good VFX for sure, like throughout numerous movies by this point. They just, for whatever reason, have absolute trash.
Yeah, and to
Titanic
be fair,
Titanic came out this year, the year before.
Oof. Wow.
Leprechaun 3 came out a year before this.
That had good effects.
No. I'm saying it's good. It's, yeah. You know, obviously, Titanic's also a movie with, like, you know, 100 times this budget. But, like, yes, like, there's loads of great VFX years and years before this movie. What were you saying, Jill?
Yeah, this came out a year after Leprechaun 3, which had, like, vastly superior graphics and everything.
Some would say vastly superior everything.
It's true.
Well, the other elephant in the room is...
You're going to say it.
You want me to say it? Or do you want... Rowan, do you want to say it?
No, you go ahead.
The lack of limericks, guys.
Oh, yeah.
My main note is he does a couple in the beginning that are terrible. They're worded way too long, so you can't really catch on to the rhyming scheme. And then
there
he just
no
drops them. Like, there's just no limericks
at all. Overall, there's not enough Leprechaun in this movie. I didn't think I'd ever say that, but...
It's true. The Leprechaun is actually like a red herring for the stupid cyborg.
Spider.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, Mitten Spider.
Well, yeah, and I think it's just kind of weird because, see, to me, and I mean, you know, I think most people listening to this episode are probably going to know where most of us are going to land on this one. But
I don't know if anyone made it to this point in the episode.
If you're still listening, thank you.
To me, one of the big things is I thought, like, probably about the hour mark, a little before that, like, I actually thought it kind of worked as a Leprechaun movie. Like, I was like, once we get a lot of, like, weird Leprechaun, like, giant Leprechaun and all this kind of stuff, like, I thought it was watchable. But I, like Exilia said, I just think so much of the first half, like, the Leprechaun doesn't matter in it. So, like, it really, like, to me, if it had been more like the second half, I probably wouldn't have, like, hated this as much. It would be camp that is a little more palatable to me than what it turned out to be.
For sure.
I don't know what to say to that because I'm just so baffled by anyone, like, kind of enjoying really any part of this movie. For me, the entire time, I was just like, I don't understand how the same director a year earlier had all these weird, like, creative kills in Vegas with Leprechaun. All these different ideas on, like, how to keep, like, escalating the stakes and the tension and making it, like, strange and funny and fun to watch. And then he's like, yo, let's go to space. And, like, the most creative I can get is we're going to cut off a guy's leg with a lightsaber off screen because we're in space. Yeah. And y'all remember Star Wars, right? Like, that's like his best, essentially. And I just couldn't get over it. I guess he gets big.
They crush the guy's face with the tray and his face goes flat. Definitely, that's okay, my favorite scene.
To be fair, I do have that noted. I was like, that is a pretty good where they make the guy's face like a pancake.
Okay, I was very disappointed with that because when I was watching it, I was like gripping my chair, like going, oh my god, it's gonna like cut his head in two. And then I was like, oh, it flew at him in the wrong direction and flattened him. I was like, I was really hoping for like a, you know, sawing his head in two and it would like go into the wall.
Oh, I love that.
But I guess they didn't have the budget for that.
I think there's no way. Like I said, like this was a invention of studio of like Trimark. So I feel like maybe three, just like maybe like Brian Trenchard Smith had more rein on what to do than he did this one. I mean, obviously they rushed this one in the production. I know, especially with the VFX stuff, the VFX budget for this was only $80,000.
Dude.
He basically said, like...
That's about 80,000 times more than I expected.
Well, and he basically said in, like, interviews later on that, like, he wasn't happy with how this turned out. He expected their budget was going to be bigger for the VFX, especially where it was in space.
Yeah.
And, like, he just wasn't happy with, like, the company, whatever company they hired to do it and producer, stuff. Yeah. But it was just Trimark, like, wanted to get it out, like, immediately. That I don't think they really cared at all.
Yeah, like, sure, we can blame some stuff on, like, the VFX or, like, it being rushed. But, like, once again, if your pitch is just literally Leprechaun but alien, it's like they don't really deliver on that at all either. Even with the
but Leprechaun. But it was Leprechaun but alien but also Star Wars.
Apollo 13.
There was so many. Yeah, well,
yeah, I guess if you're not going to do just a one-to-one ripoff, like, sure, they're sprinkling in other stuff. But, like, the Star Wars thing I feel is, like, just like a tongue-in-cheek reference, almost like a parody, almost, right? Where there's moments in this movie, like, I think they say, like, get away from her, you bitch, or, like, almost, like, they have that moment, right, where they, like, launch him out of the airlock, or they're a bunch of Marines, like, you know, similar to Alien, where there's a whole bunch of them kind of coming in, you know, this blue-collar crew. There were so many moments in it that I was just like, this is very similar to Alien, but for whatever
and
reason,
the one
like,
girl.
Just none of the artistry of Alien either, so I was just kind of left shocked. I guess one thing I did kind of like near the beginning of the movie, I got a note of like, I like the guy's shiny skull. The metal skull. I kind of liked his shiny skull.
His name is Chrome Skull or something.
His name is Metalhead. That is what Metalhead is.
Oh my god. Well, that makes it worse.
The names are terrible.
And if you want a real fun fact that I read about this film was that he was actually originally casted as the drill sergeant in Full Metal Jacket and then was replaced.
I could tell he was doing Full Metal Jacket when I was watching this. Yeah. In the first scene.
Yeah, so one of the stories of this was that Brian Trenchard Smith knew that, so he told him, like, hey, I'm going to cast you and you can finally do your, like, Full Metal Jacket performance.
But you're going to have half a head.
Yeah, you're going to have half a head. Which, I'll be honest, I don't know. I didn't think the half head looked that bad. Like,
I didn't think so either. That's what I said. I kind of liked it.
I mean, it was like a bad wig in that it was enjoyable, but, you know, very obviously a bad makeup job. But not as bad as most of the other makeup jobs. So, you know, go for it.
You know, and we're talking about, like, the Star Wars and the alien influence and stuff. See, to me, I just felt they needed to pick one. I think it was a weird mix, because especially the beginning where we get, like, the leprechaun, like, you know, has kidnapped this
I agree.
Princess, and like there's all
yeah,
this.
I guess
like,
it is Princess Leia is getting like inserted.
Oh, 100%. It's literally yeah. like Princess
That's
Leia.
A good point. Yeah.
But it's,
yeah.
it's just weird because it's like, oh, okay, it's gonna, there's gonna be like some weird, like, you know, interplanetary political, like, stuff going on here.
Yeah, because she's talking about like, oh, she like the what's her face, the blonde girl. Well, I don't know her name. Even like, you know, she's looking at her necklace and she's like, oh yeah, that's like a sign of royalty on planet whatever and amongst these people and blah blah blah. So it really seems like they're setting it up to be like,
and
you know,
and that's
yeah.
where I think like it really falters is because really what it is it's like, no, actually this movie is just Alien, but yeah. they wanted to create this like vast universe with these planets. Planets and like that there's all this politics stuff going on, but then not really give you any information about any of that stuff other than like brief mentionings of not even like good made up alien planet names. Like it just sounds like on the spot they're like, say a word that you just invented right now.
Yeah,
I completely disagree. I think it was really important to know that women from Dominia of royal blood, when they show you their breasts, it means that you're marked for death.
Marked for
I literally, before that scene even was over, I was like, why the fuck is she flashing them?
It is literally probably one of the most egregious boob shots I've seen in film for like, not just like, you know, we're talking about an unrated, you know, sex comedy from the mid-2000s yeah. where there's a naked woman walking through the background for no reason. But the need to kind of like focus on the boob shot and then explain like the lore and the reasoning why we have it in the movie. Imagine being the director of this movie and explaining to this actress why this... why nudity needs to happen for this scene.
She probably had a clause in her contract where it was like, I will only do nudity if it's essential to the story. And they're like, quick, write a paragraph.
Write it in. She's going to explain it. Yeah, I was just like, this is awful.
I come
it's
packed
awful.
With information. I have information yeah. all about this.
All right, come on, spit it out. I have no idea.
I want
the reason it's ridiculous. Lore. Is they purposely made it ridiculous. They, like, Brian Trenchard-Smith and the other, like, the writers didn't want the nude scene in it. And it was a studio note from Trimark that she needed to show her breasts. So, you know, in interviews, like, literally, like, Rue Morgue did a big article on this, like, last year, I think, where they interviewed, it was an interview they did with Brian Trenchard-Smith, like, a while ago, and they republished it. Yeah, like, basically, just talking about, like, they made it that ridiculous reason why she has to show her boobs, just kind of as, like, an FU to Trimark, like,
yeah,
we're gonna okay. do this cool. ridiculously. Also, kind of weird, the actress only would do the scene if her mom was on set. So her mom came on set for that. Yeah, kind of weird. I don't know. You know,
I would be like, make sure when I take my clothes off.
I was gonna say, make sure my mom is not on set.
Yeah.
When I'm hanging dong, don't want my mom around, you know?
Like, make sure my mother never sees this movie, actually.
Exactly.
I don't even want her knowing that I'm in it.
I was going to say, you know, we only are doing our due diligence as a horror podcast. We got to shout out Miguel A. Nunez Jr., who's just like horror royalty. He plays Styx, but this movie... Friday the 13th, part 5, Return of the Living Dead.
I'm just furiously scrolling his IMDb trying to find anything I know him from.
Return of the Living Dead is really good. You should watch it.
I mean, he's probably my favorite part of Friday the 13th, part 5. Like, one of them. He's
okay,
fantastic.
I have seen
it,
but I just can't pick out, like, you know, if he's my favorite part of that movie or not.
But, yeah, just, you know, I always like to see people that, you know, span the horror universe get to be a part of, you know, lots of different things.
Oh, you're right. And, of course, Brian Trenchard-Smith did what I love from the last one he directed, part 3, and he dropped a couple of people from one of my favorite movies of all time that he directed in it from Night of the Living Dead part 2.
Yeah.
Or not Night of the Living Dead, sorry, Night of the Demons part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time he had a couple of the girls, and then this time he had a couple of the dudes. I wasn't as excited about them, but, you know, still, it was cool to see them.
So are we going to have the conversation now, Colton, about who you're sad you didn't get to see in this Phil?
You're talking about how I didn't wind up on a fetish subreddit this year, like Googling what happened to one of the female leads in this movie.
To be honest, I'm not convinced that you didn't.
No, I have a note. It's like, you know, of course, like they're actresses, they're great look, you know, they're great looking women, but they got nothing compared to Tammy Armstrong in the last movie. So I was very upset, very let down. I didn't have to Google anybody while watching this movie, being like, oh, this is a great actress and she's, you know, great looking. Like, has she been in anything else? There was nobody.
I mean, there was the girl from Baywatch.
Well, I don't know. I never watched Baywatch.
Actually, there was two of them. No, there was a girl from Baywatch and there was the girl from Home Improvement. So big 90s TV show.
If they went on cast to star in a bunch of movies and become A-listers, I just don't care. There was none of them in this movie that I cared. You know, I never thought they were great actresses. I never, you know.
Well, and that's one of the things that I think really is another big fault with this one is, you know, number three, we kind of talked about, like, the two leads of three are actually pretty good. Like, they're pretty endearing, like, charming. Mm-hmm. Where this one, like...
And they had Caroline Williams, like, yeah, icon.
It's just this one, it's kind of like we scraped the whoever the cheapest people we could possibly get. Like, I think the lead guy there that plays Malloy...
I think that's the one I was referring to in my notes as Skinny Stallone.
Like, he's you spilled.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can put out my other fun fact of in the script, they wanted him to impersonate Sylvester Stallone.
Oh my god.
The entire movie.
Stop it.
But
he nailed it then. Never mind. I take everything back.
But then Brian Trenchard Smith said no. Like, they wanted the voice and everything. And then they said no because they were worried that Stallone would sue them. Which I don't know why.
The casting department did well.
I don't know why you worry about that, though, because it's like you guys are already, like, ripping off lightsabers. They've got the trackers from Alien.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They hit all those beats. I don't know if you guys noticed, but, like, in one of the scenes, Metalhead actually does, like, a full-out line from Aliens where he just starts yelling, "Get some," and firing his gun. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, this is, like... literally an exact line read from Aliens.
To be fair, "get some" is probably in like loads of war movies and stuff as well. It's just like obviously where they're taking so much else from Alien and Aliens, then, you know, we can attribute it to that as well. God, I was gonna say something, I forgot where it's going with it. Anyways, move on.
Was it about the leprechaun bursting out of a man's penis?
Yeah,
no, it wasn't. It
was
going to be about
scene.
That. Well, if you needed to have like topless nudity in the movie, that scene probably would have made a little bit more sense considering they were, you know, getting hot and heavy and
right. Also, they didn't even show dong. Like, hello.
They never show dong. The leprechaun
I know,
is the
and
dong.
It's annoying.
But I think you were being a little mean earlier when you're talking about like the kills not being fun.
I actually like leprechaun. Them.
Yeah, like a leprechaun exploding out of your dick is a great death. What do you mean?
Your face getting squished by a tray.
Yeah. We got
did he
this
die
little piggy
then?
Went
I can't
to the
remember.
Market.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Both of them died, yeah. The tray guy and the dick guy.
Dick guy.
I do like the kills in this. I think my issue was the kills just seemed a little PG compared to the... like, they don't show any... like blood, anything, where the other...
Yeah, no, you're right.
One, two, and three was like a little more brutal. Like, all we get in this is the leprechaun exploding, essentially. Like, that's all you get for gore, and there's no, like, actual gore.
Blood, no, he just kind of explodes.
Yeah, I think the bloodiest thing we get is when he cuts the spacesuits of one of the guys and he turns into like a bloody skeleton, which is amazing because
that is so funny
because you can hear him screaming like a millisecond beforehand and he's just a skeleton.
He's like a corrosive like skeleton and he was like just like fully breathing and they just like pan the camera to it. It's so funny. I love it.
What are you guys like? How did you guys feel about Warwick Davis in this? Like his actual performance as the leprechaun and
I think he did a good job. Like
listen, he goes all in it. Like
he
it's
was menacing.
It's never like to me it's not even an issue. He carries the whole thing. He's the only reason that they even made more than one or two of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I mean he's been in some good movies like hello, he was in Willow like
I mean, he was in Star Wars, so...
Harry Potter.
Ew.
Oh. I agree, Mike. I don't really like Warwick too much in this. I think he's fine. His makeup changes quite a bit throughout the movie. And I think it's literally just from, like, the technical application and, like, the quality of it throughout the movie. But I think it's just, like, an issue with the writing and stuff with him. Like, sure, he's probably doing a good job with what he has. It's just, I didn't really like the leprechaun character in this. And even when we were talking about the limericks earlier, like, when he does his two kind of rhyming scenes, it's just him walking in the same hallway twice. You could just tell, like, they just shot them, like, back to back. And it was probably meant to be like, okay, let's do another take with this second rhyme that we got you to memorize, because it's very much like plays out exactly the same, like him walking up to the camera saying like the same rhymes. And I don't know, he wasn't drawing me into the movie like in the other ones. And I think it's just, once again, the kills not really working for me, or like the movie not being quite as fun as the other ones, where I was like, everything was just kind of falling apart, where I was like, this was one of those movies that it was making me regret that I give the movies we watch my full attention. I was like, I should be doing something else when this is on.
Yeah, I was going to say that was kind of my issue, too, is like, I just thought about the other leprechauns, like, they give them so much to do, and, like, they're so witty, and I found this one, too, like, we didn't really, there wasn't a lot of use of his, like, magical powers, like...
And when there was, it was stupid.
Yeah, like, it just, like, the ones before this were, you know, pretty, like, I was thinking, like, I think it's two, the one where, you know, the teenager thinks that there's the naked woman in his garage, but it's actually, like, the lawnmower blade.
Yeah.
And, like... Just, like, stuff like that, or, you know, the...
Well, they kind of do that beat in this one. Like, it's very much, like, the doctor is naked outside the door.
But, yeah. Like, other... But then it's, like, what happens? Then he turns into the leprechaun and hits him in the nuts with his cane. And that's it. Like, it just... It was, like, weird use of his powers. Like, he used it to, like, put handcuffs on a guy, and that was it. And it, like, there was no real consequence to it. The guy just shoots the handcuffs off, and then it's like, oh, like...
Yeah, he uses a gun more, so...
Yeah, I mean, we have the leprechaun.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, what the fuck is this gunfight in Leprechaun?
Yeah.
And that was, you know...
How do leprechauns even know how to use a gun?
I mean, who knows? He's the leprechaun. He can do anything.
He's in space, so, you know.
But, I mean, we definitely had to have a conversation about Dr. Mittenhands.
Hell yeah. He was so creepy. Well, his body looked like an 1990s fucking like computer hair straightener. You know how you could like see through the
plastic into how it worked,
mm-hmm. Like the Y2K technology. Yeah, like a that sweet MacBook or Mac computer.
He was giving me big Rocky Horror Picture vibes. I was like, I could definitely see this guy and. Rocky Horror Picture, just
doing
like
the time warp. Yeah.
Yeah, to me, I thought he was all right. Like, he knew what movie he was in. I think he might have been the only guy that was like, this is super campy, like this is just,
you can't be in this ridiculous movie and take yourself seriously. He was so cheeky. My favorite is him riding his like little Dalek type thing.
Yeah,
so funny.
Well, and you know, we brought it up at the beginning there, but when he gets hit with the spider scorpion DNA or whatever, like, I also thought that looked pretty good.
He looked like a Cronenberg like monster.
Well, that's okay. Kind of what I'm wondering. Okay, they got 80 grand for VFX. Are the practical effects like eating into that as well? Because they spent a good little bit on the flattening of the head and this big kind of alien spider monster, realistically, right? Because both of those were pretty decent effects. And
yeah.
You know, the spider is around for the last 30 minutes of the movie, pretty much, right? There's lots of scenes where clearly it's taken a couple of people to move that around a bit. Like the abdomen part in the back and stuff, you know?
I think it also, you know, as much as I liked it, I think it also kind of hurt it, because I feel like the scene where the leprechaun, you know, it gets big and is, you know, they use the shrink ray, I don't know, what do you say?
In reverse, yeah.
Yeah, the reverse shrink ray.
The embiggening ray.
But, like, to me, I felt like they way overplayed that scene of him, like, searching for the guy. It went on way too long. They kept cutting to it. But I was like, that whole part didn't matter, because the movie totally shifts focus to this like creature. I was like, it's pretty much not a Leprechaun movie for like the whole ending of it. It's all about this like spider human scorpion creature. Yeah, so like, I don't know. I thought it kind of ended on a whimper, sadly. Well, I shouldn't say that.
The ending was epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the middle finger.
Middle finger in space.
How is this not a GIF? Like, I was like, how is this not something that I can access on my phone?
You need to make it one.
Yeah, yeah, like, there's so many things that you can send your friends of people giving the finger. Like, that should be the top one.
Do you guys remember mm-hmm. seeing the video? And I think it was in France, and it was, like, several years ago. And it was people, like, it was, like, these two older men having, like, a middle finger fight. Did you see that?
Wait, yes. And it's, yeah, like, out in the street, and they were just, like...
Yeah, so... Ron and I had like seen that at the time, and so every just randomly we'll send videos, but then it ends up like being a middle finger. So this movie, that was like such an epic ending for us.
That's great.
It was playing the long game too. It wasn't a 40-second TikTok.
Colton, I wanted to talk to you because I remember three. You loved the music of three.
I got some bad news. I don't remember any music in this movie at all. Is the music good in this movie?
I don't think there was any.
It's not. So you could tell they were definitely trying to take like beats from three, like that were playful and it was weird and it was like Leprechaun music, but then they like tried to spaceify it and it just like didn't work. I thought they were trying to make it like very grandioso, very like Star Warsy. And it just, like, the music did not work whatsoever.
Yeah, it didn't even register for me. I have three pages of notes for this movie, and I don't have one thing mentioning the music at all. So no,
well, yeah, there you go.
I got some notes about Sarge, you know?
Yeah.
In that third act when he goes to, what is it, the entertainment lounge, and, you know, he's just serving up, dancing around, singing. You know?
He's in drag.
I know.
And he's got a purse.
He actually looked way better in drag.
What does he pull out of his purse? Nunchucks.
I know.
It's
crazy.
Amazing. Yeah. Then his wig gets snatched.
Literally.
I agree. That was a pretty fun sequence of the movie as well. I got I was like, oh God, he's busting out the nunchucks.
My favorite thing ever was the first time they were all like, oh, let's go look to the club or whatever and, you know, unwind. And I was like, there's not even a bartender. There's literally no other person on this fucking space station except for like five people. I was like, you couldn't even pay like five extras to like stand around in the background or even one person to get behind the bar. So it looks like there's one other person other than these five assholes on this entire gigantic space station. Like, what the fuck?
They got no money. They spent $80,000 on the VFX. You know, they can't pay one
two tables there and something on the wall.
It would make sense though to like have to hire people to be like wait staff when everyone else is like on this mission in fucking space. Like, what was that fucking Jennifer Lawrence movie where like the
you're talking
the
about passengers
guy? Yeah, he's like a cyborg. Yeah, they should just have a cyborg be a bartender.
You spoiled Passengers for me. Are you saying Chris Pratt's a cyborg in it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I haven't
seen
that
fucking movie.
He's a cyborg in real life, but anyway.
It depends on what you're doing, right? Like, I think in, like, Passengers, isn't the conceit that they're both, like, put into a deep space mission and, like, that, you know, they wake up from hypersleep or something silly? Like, I feel like to actually make a ship of this size run, it takes more than half a dozen Marines. I guess. You do have, I guess, like, Dr. Mittenhouse, who's, like, an AI and stuff, or, you know, a cyborg.
Are you trying to say Marines are stupid?
Yes.
Like, this whole movie's dialogue was?
Yes.
Like, be a
I will die on the sword and say yes. Largely Marines, you know, are
and
kind of
misogyny
fun.
With, like, the two right? females.
I will definitely
board.
Say Call I have loads of notes.
And she has a fucking PhD.
I have loads of quotes that are all... You know, taken out of context, I could probably be canceled for, but there's some pretty wild stuff in this movie. Here's the nasty women and... Oh, here's the nasty sex and women who never say no. One of the chants they let out at the bar.
Yeah.
Wild shit.
I was like, there's literally... Oh, okay, but see, okay, so I just have to say this, because, you know, Colton always, like, picks on some stupid little thing to go, like, this doesn't make sense, so I hate the whole movie. I will say, so, back to my point about there not being anybody else on the ship.
They're banned,
right?
Yeah.
At the beginning, when what's-her-name is it Tina or something? The doctor woman?
Yeah. Tina.
When she shows up and is like, I'm going to be helping you with this, it's like he's never met her before. And I'm like, there's five people on this fucking ship.
That's true.
Have you never met her, right? Like, there's nobody on the ship.
Good point.
That's valid.
Like, where did she come from? Has she been, like, hiding out and just, like, hanging out and, like, knitting? By the way, so I need to say this. I was going to say this earlier. When we were talking about how there's not enough of the leprechaun, which is true, I think one of the other problems is also that there's not enough of her. Because, honestly, I kind of enjoyed her scenes and having her, like,
the princess
unconscious on a slab for like half the movie. If they were interacting the whole movie and like scheming and plotting, it would have been so much better.
I agree. I did really like how she kind of like went along with him rather than being like a damsel like the other movies. Yeah.
Also, her makeup was actually not awful. I mean, it was bad, but like and her body it was, glitter, it was kind of fun. Yeah, the glitter was fun. Also, it was a nice body glitter moment.
I want to say the leprechaun is a romantic. Like, I'd go on a date with him if he's gonna pop the bubbly like that any day. What a gentleman.
Leprechaun's your kind of man.
Absolutely. And then his jewels that look cheap as hell, I love them.
Listen, those were very expensive ring pops, okay? They were like $1.50 each.
Terrible, terrible.
How dare you?
And then he says things like, I'll wed her, I'll bed her, and bury her all in the same day. Give me that. That's all I want.
Jill really said, murder me, daddy leprechaun.
Absolutely. And also, I want to talk about the leprechaun in a hard hat, and then he cuts off all of his fingers.
That's a good
moment.
That's
great. Oh, yeah. And the employee, like,
the PSA. Yeah.
Yeah, like the OSHA movie. Mm-hmm. And then he says, as Shakespeare said, shit happens. Fucking mic drop. The whole movie right there. Perfect.
I was actually just going to throw that in the group chat because one of my favorite memes to send people is someone saying, as Shakespeare said, wig. And I was like, no, you know what? This is pretty good too.
I was very curious with Dr. Tina Reeves, her scientist outfit that consisted of, like, was it like red or pink hot pants? Seemed like they were, you know, issued by the military or something. But what I really enjoyed, Exilia got a good laugh, was like where they somehow managed to figure out a way to rip her clothes off and she just has like the one piece bathing suit on.
Now, to be fair, the guy randomly ripped his shirt off too.
Yeah, when he got shot.
Yeah.
He got grazed with a bullet, instantly rips his shirt off.
And did get acid all over her.
Yeah,
so that's,
just,
I will
just
give
like
that,
Alien, got some acid on her. And the only way you can prevent that from burning you is soak her in water so her clothes are just drenched. I mean, that seems like the only appropriate thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that her karate came back. Like when she gets in like a fist fight with Sarge and she just starts kicking him.
Yeah.
All right. That's good stuff.
That's what I signed up for.
A setup and payoff.
I'm very surprised that we've gone this far and no one has brought up Harold yet. The
dude, Harold's the best.
Okay.
Is that the nerdy
I have many
guy?
Thoughts about him.
Oh, no, okay. Now
Harold
I know who you're talking about. You're talking about like
the
pervy scientist, which I think at the beginning, it seems like they're trying to imply that he's gay, aren't they? With
I would. That's exactly it. I was like, he is a fucking, like a he is like pest. That bitchy gay. And then all of a sudden he's like, you know, fondling her, and I was like,
he's like essentially just like sniffing her feet while she's passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like her belly button. What was he gonna do with the belly button? That's what I want to know. Because
I was like, Your Honor, this man is a homosexual
behind him, and he's like, I see what you're gonna do. That is so funny.
Yeah, his line is, don't touch me unless you mean it, cowboy, is what he says. And like at the time, he's like leering at the guy's crotch.
Harold, just a menace, just a sassy menace. Did you guys have any other notes on this?
I love how much Rowan has been carrying this discussion. The man came with like a dozen discussion points, and all of us have like a one-word answer. I'm sorry. Brutal. I don't know. All my notes we kind of already touched on a little bit. Like the VFX, I had notes about like the women in the movie like constantly being like over-sexualized or like all of like, you know, the misogynistic remarks and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like literally everywhere. It's like every scene of the movie, which I don't remember the other ones being that way. Like, don't get me wrong.
No.
Like, obviously, I'm joking about Tammy Armstrong with the third one. And she is obviously sexualized, but like not to the degree of this movie. This one, the
producers just are like super horny and super misogynistic that I thought was just kind of insane the entire movie.
Yeah, it was definitely crazy. I would assume Trimark knew what their market was, which is, I'm sure, just like, you know, 12-year-old boys like renting this at Blockbuster. Like, I mean, obviously we discussed with all the other Leprechauns that this really kind of found its market, like, in the video rental space.
So, no pun intended.
And you had your, like, little TV vixens who were, like, minor characters in TV shows, so you could capitalize on it. Like, the Mrs. from Home Improvement wasn't her shtick on the show that, like, you know, she was like, ooh, I'm in a little skimpy outfit fixing houses as your assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
handy, Baywatch. Handing, I mean, you the tools.
I don't know. Because, you know, 12-year-old boys would have seen these TV shows and been like, oh, my God, this movie, like, maybe it's R-rated. Maybe I'll, like, see some nudity.
Which you do. Well, you
yeah,
do.
They get nudity. You do. It's basically their note is like, no blood, yes boobs. that's like the producer notes for this movie.
But that's honestly America in general. It's
true,
like...
absolutely.
Can you contest to that, Jill? Is that the motto of America?
You forgot a bit about like God and guns, but yeah, that's the gist of it.
God, guns, boobs, no blood.
No violence.
Yeah.
We'll ignore the school shootings.
And football.
And football. Oof. Well, I mean, I don't think there's like a lot to say more about this film. Are we comfortable going in the rating this?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, sure.
Well, let's land the plane on this and get into rating it. If you're new to the program, our rating system is nay, okay, yay, or slay. Exilia, we're going to start with you. You are the guest of honor.
I mean...
Although we haven't made you do any impressions yet.
Yeah,
so.
I did at the beginning.
Yeah.
I would give it, I mean, I was hard set on giving it a hard nay until the very last second. Then, I mean, it's between a nay and an okay, I guess. I don't know.
It was the middle finger?
It was the middle finger. It just did it for me. I was like...
That's a nay.
Epic. Epic ending. What about you, Rowan?
Oh, me. This one's gonna be a nay from me. I didn't enjoy it very much. To me, you're better off sticking the 1, 2, 3. I don't know, like, I'm interested next year. We're finally gonna go to the hood. I've never seen those ones, but
I can't wait to see how problematic that is.
Yeah,
it's gonna be awful.
Yeah,
but I do know that kind of like revitalized the franchise. So I know like those ones are kind of like cult loved. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we think of that one in a year. So yeah, it's gonna be a nay from me. Colton, what is your rating?
Slay.
Well, if you couldn't tell already, this movie has awful VFX. I never noticed any of the music. I didn't really like any of the kills. I do have a note that the dick kill is kind of epic at the time, because there's like all this weird stuff where it's like, wait, is Warwick Davis like giving him a hand job? Like there's weird weird stuff in that scene, like based on the dialogue, that I was like, what's happening here?
There's also peeing.
What?
They pee, the guy pees, and then the leprechaun, like, materializes from the pee.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a golden shower moment.
What? I didn't see that either, no.
That's not in what I watched. They're making out, yeah, and he very much says, like, oh, it's time for you to shake hands with the big guy. And then
that's different.
What?
That's a different scene, but go ahead.
That's not different than what I'm talking about. It's literally like he pops out of his crotch, like in the same scene. I mean, what I'm remembering, like he kind of like falls backwards onto the ground and he literally pops out of his crotch.
Rowan, help me. Tell
him. You watch the right movie, Jill?
She watched another Leprechaun.
I don't remember golden showers in this scene. Like, I'm trying to give my review. It's literally a very much a hand job moment. And then she's like, he's like, lighten up, like you're gripping too hard. And then he falls backwards onto the ground. And as he does, he grabs his crotch and the leprechaun pops out.
So according to my notes, this is between my notes of a lightsaber and...
Yeah. Okay. So what you're thinking of is how he gets into the guy's dick. which is he pees
Body. He pees on the thing and the planet or whatever.
He like pees on the leprechaun's body.
He used the pee is the conduit to which he gets inside the dude.
Yeah.
Okay. I was talking about the kill scene. There's not a golden shower in the kill scene. I don't remember.
There's a golden shower in the movie.
All right. This movie's an A. Jill, what are your thoughts on this stupid fucking movie? I'm going crazy. This is so much worse than the other ones. And I miss Tammy Armstrong.
God. Okay. Well, you know, for me, I think Leprechaun 4 is the ultimate inspiration for following your dreams. You want to make a movie about a leprechaun in space? No contacts? Not needed, I guess. I love the confidence. You want to take the Leprechaun franchise and do a film where we take a little aliens detour? I love that for you. A little Star Trek epi? Go off, sis. And for that reason, I'm gonna give Leprechaun 4 an okay. Major points were deducted due to the severe lack of limericks and rhyming. Without that, the magic of a leprechaun film is truly dimmed. But, you know, I love that iconic little motherfucker. He's a menace, and I love the silliness of this franchise. Would have been a yay had they had some limericks, but, you know, it's an okay. How about you, Mike?
I give it an A. I got nothing. I was like, Brian Trenchard Smith, what are you doing here? I Colton mentioned it earlier, and we all have, like, there was something bizarrely, like, almost magical about number three, in that, like, there was some effort, you know what I mean? And, like, there was something about it that just, it was kind of charming despite being awful, but this had no charm and was awful. So, and I was like, nobody's serving in it except for Mrs.'s, you know, face glitter. And
nunchucks,
I was just like,
in the purse. What do you mean?
Sarge is serving in that one scene.
Thank you, Colton, heard
me. He didn't sing enough. He should have had another song. The best music in that movie was when he was singing that song. I thought it was going to be like,
shot.
No, you know what? He should have sang, "Hey, Big Spender." You know, that's a really good song. That's a good one for a lounge singer.
The movie, then yeah, that would have happened.
Yeah. So I probably will never watch it again. So, nay.
So, four nays and an okay.
And Jill really thought she was doing something with that okay.
Yeah.
You deprived us of the coveted, what, penta nay. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Wait, no, because Xelia said it was between an okay.
Exactly.
And an A.
Yeah.
Borderline.
When I write it down, it's going to say nay. So.
Back in the day, we would have called it nay plus.
Exactly.
Nay exactly. Plus. It'd be like a soft nay.
Okay, yeah. Nate Plus is fine. I'll take it.
So we told you what we thought of the film, and we asked you what you thought, and we did get a couple replies. So over on Instagram, we had Jessica write in, and she said, obviously a great film, but Leprechaun in Da Hood is better.
Okay.
I can't take her word for that, because if anyone who's calling this a great film, we just don't align on a film opinion. So now
we'll
I'm even more
year.
Worried for Leprechaun in the Hood.
And then, you know, friend of the podcast, Brad Dunn wrote in with just a banana emoji. I'm not really sure if that's
it's
good
bananas.
Or bad. It's bananas. I
can't believe you don't know what the banana means.
I mean,
he's talking about the dick leprechaun scene for sure.
For sure, 100%. And then Patreon super member Holly P wrote in, and she just wrote, "Guys, you are killing me."
Aww.
I agree. Yeah, we need to get a better pick for Holly. Probably won't happen for another 2 months or so.
Excuse me, Holly has mucho taste and liked Baby Jane, so
there. That's true.
And then over on Threads, we had Demonic Dan write, and he said, "It's okay. If you made it through the Leprechaun in Las Vegas, you owe it to yourself to see space and the Hood."
If you made it through the Leprechaun in Las Vegas? That's the most competent one out of all of them I've seen so far. This is insane.
Like I said, I'm very interested to see the Hood one, because everyone, like I said, seems to be like we get back on track in the hood, which
are there two of them?
There is. There's in the hood and welcome to or back to the hood or something. Mm. And then from there, we're going to go over to the horrific hotline. We did have one question come in, but we kind of already answered it. It was a friend of the podcast, Anthony, wrote in and said, this question is for Jill. Do we think Warwick Davis did a good job in this film?
You know, we did answer this question already, and absolutely, yes, he did. Thanks, Anthony.
It was actually on our bingo card for the episode, so it's ticked off. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. And with that, we're going to go over, and I believe Nicholas has sent us a voicemail.
I remember that I couldn't give the third Leprechaun movie a nay because I did enjoy it way too much. And I just can't say the same about Leprechaun in Space.
Taste.
I thought it was a horrendous movie. I didn't think it was cool. I didn't even think it was funny. The best joke in the movie was after 5 minutes, the give me a hand joke when he throws the hand at the medic. And after that, and that's not a good joke. And after that, downhill. I thought the effects were bad. The story was barely there. Those Marines were basically the weakest copy of any alien space Marine Corps I have ever seen in a movie. This was the movie that made me reach for my phone all the time. I couldn't really concentrate. I thought it was stupid, boring, and I'm very sorry because I know that there are people who actually love it for being even more weird and out there than the third movie, but I couldn't stand it. Yeah, sorry about that. But I am looking forward to like the Back in the Hood. No, what is it? Leprechaun in the Hood and Back to the Hood. I guess those will be the Leprechaun movies for 25 and 26. And I've heard a few interesting things about those. So I'm looking forward at least to those. And I'll take Leprechaun in Space as the really negative outlier in a, let's say, not perfect series of movies.
If we're still reviewing Leprechaun movies in 2026, if I'm still here, just put me out the pasture. I'm done. I can't be still doing that 2 years time, these crazy Leprechaun movies.
I just can't believe Nicholas gave it a big slay. I just can't believe it.
That's on the bingo card. Yeah.
After that rant, you know, for like a 90-second rant, he just was like, you know what? It's still a slave for me.
he said in his email, he said, I just didn't want anyone in general to hear how much I love this movie.
That's funny. I think that's the most angry and annoyed I've heard Nicholas so far.
You know what? Yeah.
So that was pretty good. That was a unique experience
He's
for me.
He's reconsidering that Patreon membership.
Yeah, he's like, why am I paying for this torture?
You guys should pay me, actually.
Yeah, and if you want to be like Nicholas and be tortured and leave us a voicemail, you can do so by sending us your voicemail at itslayspodcast@gmail.com or just to any of our socials. If you get us a voice message, we'll make sure that it makes the air. And if you're not doing it already, you can follow us on our socials at It Slays Podcast. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Slasher, Letterboxd, Threads, Blue Sky. They just keep cropping up. If there's a social media, we're probably there at It Slays Podcast. And if you want to support the show like our horror hounds, Holly, Nicholas, Patrick, Mark, Stephen, Joy, Carvey, Dan, Brian, Trevor, and Genesis, the newest horror hound, Genesis, gain access to the Patreon exclusive show Stream Screams, hosted by Jill, and get episodes of this main show 48 hours early, be sure to head on over to patreon.com/itslayspodcast and choose whatever tier works best for you. Rowan, we've already discussed music kind of sucks in this movie. I go ahead and plug the playlist. There's no new tracks,
transition.
Probably.
Go over to Spotify to the It Slays Podcast horrific playlist. If you have any problems finding it, you can go to any of the social media that Colton just mentioned. Go into the bio, click the Linktree link. It'll take you directly to it. We upload scores or licensed music from iconic horror movies, horror movies we review, or just horror movies we love. So go follow the playlist. Yeah, nothing from this is going to make it, but there'll be some good jams on there. So get your spooky music on, because why the hell not? And from there, all that's left is to announce our next episode, which is a Jill pick. And I believe, you know, since we tortured Nicholas this time, Jill said we gotta torture Colton. So, Jill, why don't you announce our next pick?
Yeah, you know me, I'm all about that Colton torture. but, you know, we just went to space with leprechauns. You know, I think the logical next step is werewolves in rehab. So that's what we're going next time. So, you know, get it in your eyeballs, as Rowan said, and get ready for some werewolf shit.
You never announced the movie, Jill. It's Ginger Snaps 2. Also, there was a much more natural transition, considering what you talked about for 20 minutes straight, you know, and what you've been consuming.
Yeah, I was going to say, this episode may or may not contain werewolf penises.
Okay, so yeah, I'm so sorry.
Ginger Snaps 2.
Ginger Snaps 2, Unleashed.
Wow.
Unleashed in Rehab is the next
It's not the full
episode.
Title, right? Not Unleashed
one
in
might
Rehab.
Say, one might say Unknotted.
Oh,
I am not looking forward to this one.
And that one, we have another special guest coming in. Willow is going to be joining us for that one. I know she's very excited to just ream into Colton about Ginger Snap. So
excellent.
Get that into your eye holes, and we will be back in 2 weeks with that. Thank you for the support, and as always, I am your humble host, Rowan.
Bye, it's Mike.
I'm Colton.
And bye, it's Jill.
Sorry, I can't do it.
Shine me buckles.
Shine me buckles. Shine me buckles. I can't.